Amen. That's so good. That's so good. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, our Bibles, and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Good to have you here this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Get to Exodus chapter 20. Look up. I know you're there. All right. Start this series of messages sometime, and really I'm kind of moving into the next year. I want to be getting to our new theme, Always Abounding, but I don't want to stop in the middle of this because I think that's why we have some problems that we have in our society, because we don't really deal with what we've been dealing with here the last few months. And these are basic things, and we forget about them. And we get off on these little tangents and these little details and those little details, and we have forgotten the weightier matters. And these basic things, you know, we talk about, we're talking about the Ten Commandments here. We say, well, teach those to the kids. Yeah, we teach those to the kids and to the big kids, too. And the problem is we forget them. The big kids, we forget these things, and sometimes we forget the application. And so I really want to encourage, I want our folks, I really do, I want our folks to rise up in arms of faith. I want you to see the victory that God wants to give you. But we're going to have to do it according to His ways. We don't do it His ways. It does not work. You can't just keep praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for things to happen and then not do what He's called us to do. It's like the old song here. In fact, I think I might even have it on the docket here for us to sing a little later here. But it says, you've longed for sweet peace and faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. We want Him to do His side, but we want Him to do His part without us having to do our part. We want Him to bless our mess. And God doesn't work that way. And so Joshua 1:8, say it with me. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way, and then thou shalt have good. Listen, it's important. I know I've been doing this, but the fact is, we need to go through each of these things and figure out what God's doing. Now, we spent some time, we found out who God is. We got to decide who our God is. Nobody else. There is none other but Him. We've got to decide who God is. Then we have to decide that we're going to do things according to His plan. That really is what the Sabbath is talking about. We actually have to live our belief. We say that God is our all sufficiency. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's the one who gives us the philosophy of life. He's our God. He makes decisions. He has veto power in our lives. We got to decide He's our God. That if He's our God, then we're going to have to, our life is going to change because of what we believe. Faith without works is dead. If what you believe does not change what you do, then you don't believe it, or you're stupid. It has to make a difference. And so the Sabbath is His resting in His provision, His protection, His philosophy. We rest in His philosophy. You say, well, it doesn't make any sense to me, but this is what God says I'm supposed to do. Well, fine, just go ahead and do it, rest in it. Do it, forget about it. Just go ahead and obey. Then we came to honor thy father and mother. We found out what that really meant was we've got to know who God is, we've got to live by who God is, and then we've got to pass it on to the next generation. We've got to hand it down. We can't just say this is where we are and go back and forget about it, put it on the shelf and never see it again. We have some books like that. You read the book, put it on the shelf, it looks good on the shelf, but you never read it again. Next generation comes around, they just remember it being on the shelf and never read it. And that's what happens with our belief in Christ. Somebody along the way believed it, but we haven't passed it on to the next generation. We haven't listened to it. We haven't honored what God's going to teach. God's teaching us some things. That's the first five commandments. Today we come to the sixth, which is the second half, where He starts doing the thou shalts. If we don't establish who God is, if we don't establish that we're going to do what He tells us to do, and we don't decide we're going to pass this on, it doesn't matter whether we have the law or not, because it's not going to do us any good. So now He's going to get into some laws. Today we have, I'm going to go ahead and read this. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 20, just to put it all in perspective. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord," that capital, all capitals, means Jehovah. It does not mean Allah. It does not mean Krishna. It does not mean Buddha. Doesn't mean anything. It says Jehovah is his name. "I am the Jehovah thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So he's basically saying, listen to me, boys, I'm Jehovah, the self-existing one. Verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I'm Jehovah your God, don't have any other gods. Don't add to it, don't put me just in the midst of a mess. It's me or nobody. Verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto those of them that love me and keep my commandments." He says, I'm your God. Don't make up any other gods. Don't try to make me out to be something I'm not. You let me be who I am. Don't create a God in your own image. Don't put it in your mind. Don't come up with some other thing, some other definition. Don't you decide what God's supposed to be. I'm God. Let me be God. Don't bow yourself. Don't submit yourself. Don't give in to any other God but me. And we wonder why we have a problem, and we say, well, I like this, and we're trying, we think we're being nice. We don't want to offend anybody else, but we don't have any problem offending him. Listen, you're a father. What would it feel like if your kids started calling some other man daddy? Ladies, they started calling some other woman mommy. Wait a minute, I'm your father. No one else is your father. I'm your father. But I like her rules better. Let's go over here and talk to her. I like his household better. Let's go over here. How's that feel? Doesn't feel any better to God. He's our God. Then it says, thou shalt not take, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You ought to respect your mommy and daddy. Well, you ought to respect your God. Don't make light of him. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He says, I did it all. It's a complete job. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away. You don't need to. It's all complete. Rest in me. Everything that he has done, is you're complete in him. When he saved your soul, he saved you all over. He saved all of it. Paid for all your sin. Listen, we need to make sure we're living for him, but he's already paid for it because we're not going to come up to snuff on our own. So we need to live by him. He's our God. Number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It doesn't mean, listen, I brought you in this world, I can take you out. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you're going to enjoy living the life that God has given you when you do it his way. And who's going to pass on how you do it? Mom and dad. By the way, it's mom and dad's job to do it. We have a Christian school. You know what our job is? Is to support what you're supposed to be doing at home, not pulling the rug out from underneath of you or digging out or talking behind your back or trying to steal the faith of your kids while you're not looking. Our job is to support you. The job of the church is not to raise your kids. We are to be teaching the Word of God and be teaching you the Word of God. But you are supposed to be raising the kids. Now, we'll help you, support you, give you some, you know, some insight if we need to, some booster shots here and there. We're there to do whatever we can, but it's your responsibility. Now, that's where we are. Then it starts giving us the actual down nitty-gritty law. Verse number 13. Thou shalt not kill. Pretty plain. But we're going to look at it here this morning. You say, well, boy, that's pretty good. I'm good to go. I've never killed anybody. We might find out some things. So let's pray. We'll talk about thou shalt not kill. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths in it. Lord, we need you here this morning. I need you to help. I need you to give me your direction, your guidance. May your Holy Spirit move. Do a work in each of our hearts exactly where you want it to be done. I ask for your spirit, your power, and we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Disregard for human life seems to kind of go through cycles in our society. If you go back through history, you see very barbaric areas, you know, the Dark Ages, and just like it was just, there were times in society, it's always been a problem. When times in society, it was like there was such disregard, well, you're in my way, slice your head off. Off with the head! In the early days of our country, there were murderers in the Wild West. A duel between our third president, Aaron Burr, and Alexander Hamilton resulted in Hamilton's death. I don't think this is the way God intends for us to settle disputes and attain justice. We appeared to become a little more civilized during the late 1800s and 1900s. But I think our country has once again stooped to more barbaric forms of confrontation in these later years. Society claims to be more enlightened and evolved, and yet TV and movies, which claim to be simply a reflection of current society, has become increasingly violent and barbaric. I don't watch the shows, but just watching the commercials go by, oh my soul! Your mind and heart, I'm serious, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to overstate it. Your mind, your heart is assaulted by just the commercials. Even religious people have taken the law in their own hands as judge, jury, and executioner and decided that they have the right to take someone's life. What ISIS is doing is not holy war, it's murder. Now, I'm going to cover a lot of information on a variety of perspectives in a short period of time here, but relatively short. But I'm going to try to answer as many questions as I can along the way. Now, take the references, go back home, study this more if you need to, or keep the information to refer to later. I cannot exhaust every reference, but we will do what we can to understand the purpose behind this commandment, so that we observe to do according to all that's written in the law of the Lord. Our verse here today says, thou shalt not kill. That word kill means to dash to pieces, to murder. Murder is different than proper executed justice. Now let that sink in. All human life is precious to God. But when human life decides it's going to take human life, justice must be done. Justice is not done out of anger or out of retaliation or even retribution. Justice is done, as it says in the Old Testament, to put evil away from the people. It's a tough situation, but something, it's a decision that has to be made, not lightly. When I lead somebody to the Lord, one of the things when I'm talking about, you know, the Bible says no one can enter in that would defile it into heaven, God's presence. And the fact is, and one of the things I said, well, suppose everybody in the world was perfect except me. And everybody in the world was sitting in heaven except me. If God said, you know, I feel sorry for Sterling, let's let him into heaven, then heaven wouldn't be heaven for you because heaven's supposed to be perfect. And I messed it up. That's not just. Justice sometimes is hard. Justice does not contradict love. 1 Corinthians 13, love or charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Listen, when we discipline our children, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is disciplining them, not taking out our anger. Those things are done out of love. He that spareth the rod hateth his child, hates his son. If we don't train him, we actually are saying, just go ahead and live in the foolishness that was born in your heart. Take your chances. If I love him, I'm going to train him. If I'm going to train them, I'm probably going to have to discipline them. Not out of retaliation. Not out of anger. But out of loving instruction. These are tough issues. Now, to understand thou shalt not kill, the first thing we need to settle in our heart is that Jehovah is God. And I mentioned a little bit there. But I'm going to read this to you. Deuteronomy 4:39 says this. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the Lord, he is God. That's how it says it. That the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Deuteronomy 4:39. Go back and look it up sometime. Jehovah is the one that commands that we do not murder, that we do not dash to pieces. By the way, Allah commands that you do dash to pieces. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not trying to get political. But I'm just saying, this is a different God. And don't let the world's perspective taint or skew your thoughts on this principle. We're not careful, the world will just kind of squeeze us a little off the path. We're not supposed to turn from the right to the left. We've got to hang right on to it. Allah is not Jehovah, and Jehovah is not Allah. But so he says, the Lord, Jehovah, he is God in heaven above. There is none else. Thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes. That's what it says, verse 40. Jehovah's statutes. Do it the way he says it. His statutes and his commands, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth. See, that's why it's supposed to honor father and mother, because they're going to teach you these things, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. 1 Kings 18, we have the showdown on Mount Carmel. Elijah, they brought the fire down. It says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. There is a God. And the Lord is the one who is the God. Now, I know we talked about this before, but the fact is we really realize, put the weight on these commands of who gave it, it has to make a difference. Jehovah is the God. Now, taking of life, some things we need to start with. Number one, life is created in the image of God. Life is created in the image of God. Now just think real quick with me. To understand murder, we must understand death. To understand death, we must understand life. To kill a living soul is to destroy the image of God. These images of God are created to give God the glory. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Life brings forth life, brings forth life, brings forth life. And when we do it properly in God's way, it brings glory to God. I don't care what you do. You can go out and take as much dirt as you want, add some water, find some other minerals and chemicals and strike it with lightning. You're not going to create life. Jesus is the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. There is no death in Jesus. Life, living, really is the glory of God. Death is the glory of sin. Sin brings forth death. And we can see what sin is by death. We can see what God is by life. Now, God is the one that gives life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In the beginning, God created. God is the only one that had, watch, if God is the one that gives life, God is the only one that has the right and authority to take life. Or transfer that authority to someone else. That does happen. God is the one who has the authority. And he has the right to put it where to give life. He has the authority to take life, and he has the authority to transfer the right to take life. Genesis 1:24. I mean, you're a quick Bible study. You can catch some of these. We're going to read a lot of scripture, but that's where we are. Genesis 1:24 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind. And what that means is there was no transference or change or evolution through species. That's what that means. In fact, it brings God glory to say he directed this one and you get a whole bunch more of these. All goes, it works according, he's not an author of confusion. Not accidental. And that thing that creepeth upon the earth of his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and dominion over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, we're going to get to this a little bit later here, Lord willing. That word dominion over all the creeping things, that word dominion means to tread down. That is to subjugate, to have dominion, to prevail over, to reign over. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It didn't say, I'm sorry, folks, it didn't say the dogs. I know you love your dogs and your cats and your animals and your pets, and they have a personality of some type, I understand, but they're not a living soul. God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:13 says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I will praise thee. That word praise, he says, I got to hand it to you, God. That's really what I got to hand it to you, God. For I am amazingly put together. I'm standing in awe of what you have created. And it says, and wonderfully made. That means distinguished. Obviously, no one else could have done what you have done, God. No one else could accomplish such a thing. It says, I'm amazingly made. Marvelous are thy works. That word marvelous means that's the estate, the state of being different than everything else. And all you says, it's amazing what you've done. And that my soul knoweth right well. He says, I have decided, I've looked at it, and I've settled it in my heart. My soul knows it right well. That this is something God has done. Job 33:4 says this, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. From the womb, God knows us. Again, back to Psalm 139:15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts of me, thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. You know what he's saying? Do you realize that I'm made of some of the broccoli my mother ate? You see what I'm saying? In other words, the world is full of elements, but it's just dust. It's here, there, and yon, and everywhere. And yet God takes all those minerals and all those things and he pulls them together, and out comes life because he breathes into it the breath of life. And yet he knew me as well, better than I know myself. He knows what I'm going to be 10 years from now. And he knew that when he created the foundation of the world. He knew the molecules, the atoms that were going to come together that was going to make my great, 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 great grandmother all the way through to who I am. In his mind, at the foundation of the world, there was a molecule in there. He says, one of these days, that's going to be part of Sterling. See, I was not an afterthought, and you're not an afterthought. God knows who you are, and you are precious in his sight. He cares about every issue in your life more than we care. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows who we are before we are conceived. Jeremiah 1:4, for the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I had a plan for you, he's saying, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Job, again, back to Job, he said, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, he was kind of having a pity party here, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? So I should have been dead. He says, God knew who he was. John the Baptist was filled of the Spirit even from his mother's womb. The point of origin. How can a blob of fetal tissue become filled with the Holy Spirit? Leaped in her womb when Mary shows up and says, howdy. God gives life. Life is not accidental. The Bible says in Revelation 4:11, he says, unto thee be all glory and praise, for we are and were created. For thy praise, for thy glory, we are and were created. This is Listen, we weren't, listen, our souls weren't sitting in heaven in a holding tank. But God breathes into us the breath of life. When that life is formed, there's a soul. And he knew that we were going to be here before the foundation of the world. Number two, it gets shorter. God authorizes the taking of life at times. God authorizes the taking of life. God gives life, and so God has the authority to take life. Genesis 2:16, it says this, "And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the garden of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The second sin we know of in the Bible was murder. Adam and Eve's oldest son, Cain, kills their second son, Abel. You know why? Because Abel was right and Cain didn't like it. Lord says, he said, Cain, if thou doest right, isn't there a problem? I mean, why is there a problem? If you're doing right, what's the issue? God even gave Cain an opportunity to confess. He says, you seen your brother. And Cain, who didn't fear God for who he was, thought he could lie. Am I my brother's keeper? What a smart aleck. Then God, in his mercy, who should have slapped him down and killed him right there, said, I'll tell you what I'm going to send you out of town. I think it's reminiscent of the city of refuge that comes later. God could have killed Cain right there. And you know what Cain says? It's too much. I can't take it. Well, I should kill you. That's your choice. You want to stay and die. You want to leave and live. So you take life. We're playing God. When you take life, you're playing God. Exodus 19:12 says, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up unto the mountain and touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death." See, God has a right to put folks to death. "There shall not any hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up the mountain." Some of you know that passage. God sometimes transfers the authorization to take life. Exodus chapter 21, verse 12 says, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar, and he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if it be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." God doesn't take death lightly, but he doesn't take sin lightly. And there must be justice. Number three, I want to show you something about human government. We talk about murder. Thou shalt not kill. What are we doing out here? You know, why do we have a military? Shouldn't have a military. No, come on. Shouldn't have a death penalty. Thou shalt not kill. That wasn't any better than that. No, listen. There's justice. Not vengeance, but justice. It's about putting away evil away from our society. Genesis 9:3. Right after Noah's Ark. That's what it says. Genesis 9:3. "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." So, by the way, just not going to get a... I'll talk about it a little bit later, just mention it, but eating an animal is not murder. Okay, I'm eating animals, not murder. You may not like to eat animals, that's fine. But eating animals, not murder. And go back. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh, with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. This is the establishment of human government. You want to kill somebody? We're going to have to take your life. We can't have this happening. Deuteronomy 17:2. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and required diligently, behold, it be true, and the thing is certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Justice, fairness. The hands of the witness shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. That's what this is about. It's not fun. It's not nice. No one wants to think about it. But as much as this appalls us, do you realize the little sins that we commit appalls God? Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God, and the powers that be ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, that they that resist shall receive of themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to do thee good. But if thou that which is evil be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So when it says thou shalt not kill, study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, we have been lulled in by the liberal press and the worldly humanistic philosophy. I'm not saying go out and just love killing everybody. No, you hate it. But there's justice for the good of all has to be done. Capital punishment is biblical. We're not talking about having somebody talk behind our back when turning the other cheek. We're talking about protecting life that is created in the image of God. Number four. Hang tight with me here. The taking of life without the authorization of God is murder. You find what I'm saying here? Not all killing is murder. The taking of life without the authorization of God is murder. That word says, thou shalt not kill, means not thou shalt not dash to pieces. Thou shalt not take them and take their heads off, or cut their hands off, or take their feet off. Hang on. Let me say this. And when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is not one sin that he has not died for, paid for on the cross. but abortion is murder. And I say that because there could be, I don't know of one, not one, but there could be somebody in here who has had an abortion or been party to. I don't know. But God can forgive you for that. You don't need to tell us. Tell him. We don't need to air our dirty laundry to everybody in the world. They don't need to know that. I mean, if it feels like you get it off your shoulders or off your chest, and tell me, it stays in my office. The walls don't talk. But the fact is, you need to tell him. He's the one. Okay. Now listen. Our society has committed corporate murder and corporately thus cannot claim the promise of prosperity and good success. Hillary Clinton would not deny at that third debate, she wouldn't deny it, that she supports abortion unto the moment of birth. I don't know if you saw it, but she just wouldn't deny a thing. Well, it doesn't happen that way. There are some who will even entertain the thought of infanticide. In 1999, Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, you all know who he is, put forth a hypothetical situation to Barbara Boxer. He says, suppose during this procedure, speaking of abortion, the baby slips entirely from the mother's womb, the mother's birth canal. Would you agree, once a child is born and is separated from the mother, that the child is protected by the Constitution and cannot be killed? Do you agree with that? She said, I think when you bring your baby home, when your baby is born, the baby belongs to your family and all the rights. So Santorum persisted. Obviously, you don't mean that they have to take the baby out of the hospital for it to be protected by the Constitution. Once the baby is separated from the mother, you would agree, completely separated from mother, you would agree that the baby is entitled to constitutional protection. She wouldn't say yes. What she said was, I don't want to engage in this. Now, the fact is, that baby is a baby long before it comes out of the mother's womb. And since... Now, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know when he puts a living soul in there. I think we better just be careful and just say conception. Because God knew who the baby was before conception. So as far as God's concerned, the life began at conception because he already knew him. Leviticus 20, verse 1 says this. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt not say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger, or the sojourner of Israel, that giveth any of his seed, children, unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among the people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. If the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth his seed unto Molech and kill him, and they don't kill, and they kill him not, then will I set my face against that man, against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, you ought to speak against abortion. Because if we don't, we are guilty of it. I know that sounds political. It's not political, it's moral. Jeremiah 32:34. But they that set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. You know what he's saying? You're killing your babies. You're going into captivity. That's what he's saying. Ezekiel 16:20. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. In this of thy whoredoms, is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? Watch this. That thou hast slain my children, delivered them, to cause them to pass through the fire of them. Is this a little thing? Ezekiel 23:37. Listen to this. That they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbath. He goes on to explain. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. You know what he's saying? Listen, this is what he's saying. They go out and commit adultery. Now what happens? You get babies. They take those babies and sacrifice them, human sacrifice. And it says then they walk back into the sanctuary of God like nothing happened. There's no big deal. We have allowed our society to become lascivious, lustful, awful, wicked. And then we just sacrifice the babies. And then we all come to church and say, praise the Lord. I'm talking society, Christendom as a whole. There's a problem with that. And we wonder why we're not prospering on our way like we used to be. We wonder why we're not seeing the good success that we're supposed to be seeing. We wonder why our children treat each other like they're just animals or less than animals. Because we have disregarded life itself. It says, thou shalt not kill. And the fact is, a lot of our signatures have given agreement. By the process, by simply saying nothing. By saying nothing. A few final thoughts. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I talked about this. You can go back and look at it. I'm kind of off, again, it's just kind of a smattering of thoughts here. Animals are not included in that. I don't mean to be a big deal here, but the fact is, God breathed in man, he received it. Genesis 9:3, he says that every moving thing living shall be meat unto you. That's not murder. Acts chapter 10, Peter saw the sheep come down with all these things, and he says, take, kill, and eat. And he said, oh, I'm not going to eat what's on. He said, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Kill and eat. That means you can have crab and shrimp and bacon on your sandwich. You can go to Arby's where they have the meats. Did you see the one they had there? It says, we love vegetarians. Cows are vegetarians. We love cow on sandwiches. Now, if you want to refrain from eating meat, that's your decision. That practice is not a token of superior spirituality. Okay? However, excessive carnivorous consumption can be a detriment to your health. And then we're encroaching on another issue called gluttony. But anyway, just put it in perspective, because that is a question. I'm not trying to make light of it, because folks are very attached to their animals, and I understand that. And they hurt when they die, and I understand that, just personality. But there is a difference, okay? Let me say as kindly as I can, there is a difference. I'll give you another one, number six. We have the right to protect ourselves from aggressors. We do not have the right to be the aggressor. That gets into politics, but the fact is, we were supposed to run this country by the Word of God originally. So so I think it's okay for it to get in there. We shouldn't be separated. We get ourselves in trouble. We don't. But we don't really have the right to be the aggressor. But we do have a right to protect ourselves from aggressors. Now, one last thing, and hang tight with me. Ready? Hate is murder in the heart. Let me say it a little louder if I didn't say it. Hate is murder in the heart. The world is full of non-active murderers. 1 John 3:9. Mark it down. Whosoever, 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. In other words, it's not going to be. That's not the way he's going to be, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest or shown, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Watch this. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked man, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Yep, remember I said that? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Let me say it again. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, he's not saying if you've ever hated somebody since you were saved, you lost your salvation. That's not what he's saying. All right, he's not saying that. What he's saying is that it's a sin. It's enough to send you to hell. But if your sins are all paid for, and they are, and you've accepted Christ your Savior, and you've accepted that payment, you're saved. He paid for that thought. But sin still begins in the heart. The sin of murder occurs in the heart before it ever is ever put into action. Could we be murderers and not know it? We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Watch. Murder is so prevalent in everyday entertainment that I believe that people are enticed to act upon their hatred of others and actually commit murder. There are copycat crimes all the time. TV is teaching people how to commit the perfect crime, even murder. I shouldn't tell you, but you get on the internet, you can learn how to commit the perfect murder. Some folks have become so accustomed to the thought of murder that before they know it, in their selfish rage, it doesn't seem so evil or wicked, and they have even fantasized about ridding their lives of someone that is unfavorable in their eyes. Boy, just get rid of that person. There's been folks who've sat in the pews of this church who've thought that. That's murder. Thou shalt not kill. Psalm 101 says this: I will sing of the mercy and the judgment of the Lord will I sing, and I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Watch. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside and shall not cleave to me. All these little things and vengeful things, and you see, and we laugh at them on sitcoms and see this on the shows. Listen, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. Before you know it, those little thoughts are coming in our own mind. So I wouldn't think about murder, but you say, well, I really hate that person. We may not commit murder for whatever reason, but to entertain the thoughts of hate is the sin of murder in the heart. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have even come to the point in America where the wicked, deceitful lust of human heart has even fantasized about murder, torture, dismemberment, simply for the thrill and the adrenaline rush of the activity. I saw the news in the last week and a half. Mother did it to her own daughter. Now, if you're like me, when you get to, well, what am I going to say when we get to thou shalt not kill? We don't have any murderers in our church. What are you going to say? I studied it. We got to be careful. We have become a society of murderers, and I think we don't realize it. Just the hate. We would feel better if the world was rid of some certain individuals. That's murder. Then we wonder why we're not prospering in our way and having good success. Chances are we have all had people in our lives that we would rather have not had. Is there hate in your heart or forgiveness? And by the way, don't expect everybody else to be perfect in your eyes so you don't have to hate. Well, I just can't help myself. That's just the way they are. Change who you are. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Interesting, he puts murder right there with envying, just like Mr. Cain. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Thou shalt not kill, not in action or deed, but also not in thought and spirit. Where's your heart this morning? Search it this morning. Dead sure. There's nothing here hindering the blessings, the prosperity, and the progress of God and success of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Tough message this morning here. Lord, I pray that you give us your wisdom. All heads are bowed.